from the finish line of the Arrowhead 135 in Tower, Minnesota, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, in the wake of Jonas Vingegaard crashing in training, apparently down to trying to drop an amateur rider, we are discussing whether it's okay to sit behind other cyclists you don't know out on public roads.
Plus, a very cold cycling record, one very sexy bike, more restrictions on bikes, and Strava deleting 2.3 million activities.
What?
This week, in the world of cycling, we learnt that Mathieu van der Poel can now lay claim to be the undisputed best male cyclocross racer of all time after he clinched his eighth world title at the weekend.
Eighth.
Unbelievable.
Eighth
elite title.
Yes, good point. I have never seen him race in such a conservative, cautious way in order to get the job done.
It was like that, wasn't it? A far cry. What it was like when he won his first title in the elite category in 2015 at the age of 20.
Wow.
So 20 years old.
Yeah, now we also learned this week that Lucinda Brand really didn't need to panic as she won the women's world title.
I would definitely be panicking.
Yeah, me too.
Not great timing, is it?
But I would also say no reason to panic. Inside, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd be panicking, yeah. But outside, yeah, no. I mean, what can you can't do much panic training in a week, can you?
No, you just have to rest.
Well,
I think he did say that she'd done a big week of training with a view to being on her top form at the World Championships this coming weekend.
Well, let's see. I mean, Sven Nys himself was not one for peaking at World Championships.
No,
despite being one of the greatest cross cyclists of all time, he only won two.
Yeah, maybe he didn't panic enough. What do we know, Si? Hey?
Well, all I can say, Dan, is that if I had had an off weekend the week before the World Championships, I can tell you categorically that I would not have won the World Championships.
And what if you had a good weekend the weekend before the World Championships?
I mean, categorically, I would not have won the World Championships either, it's fair to say.
I thought not. I mean, it was a guess, but I thought you wouldn't.
No. And now, finally this week, we learned that Jonas Vingegaard crashed and bloodied his face due to a wheel sucker.
Apparently.
Yeah, a person hugging your back wheel in order to benefit from your slipstream.
Well, I mean, as I just alluded to, we don't really have proof of this categorically.
No.
Anyway, so I think we should start by stating what we actually do know, the facts.
Okay.
Sorry.
Jonas Vingegaard crashed on a descent in Spain and bloodied his face.
True.
Do we know that the blood on his face is a fact?
There were two people that said that, yes.
Okay, witnesses.
Yeah.
Jonas said that there had been a rider tailgating him just before the incident.
Yeah, all true. But I still feel like we need to go into more detail on this.
Okay.
So first and foremost, Vingegaard didn't sustain any serious injuries, according to his team, so that's good.
Very
obviously.
Good, yeah.
Now, the incident happened in Malaga in the south of Spain. The amateur rider in question was Pedro Garcia Fernandez, a local under-23 rider.
This feels a little bit like a game of Cluedo, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. Who did it? Who done it?
Yeah.
Anyway, he posted his ride to Strava with a photo and then posted a video to his Instagram account.
Yeah, so the video appears to be taken on a phone.
Yeah.
Dan has surmised this fact.
Yeah. Because it moves all over the place.
Which means that he would therefore have been riding with one hand off the bars.
Yeah, and what can we conclude from that side?
Well, it's important to note, isn't it? Because it means that he probably wasn't going flat out in order to keep up
exactly.
with
exactly. That was my conclusion as well, Si. Anyway, on his Strava ride description, Fernandez wrote this. It's been translated from Spanish. He said, "You can be professional, but you can also be humble." Now, I'm going to paraphrase the next part because it was reasonably long, but he then went on to say, Vingegaard got angry with him when he asked how he was after he crashed, also effectively saying that the Dane only had himself to blame for the crash because he was pushing the limit solely because he wanted to drop that amateur rider.
Now, I know you've already said this on the Racing News Show, but I also find it hard to believe that Jonas was taking risks solely because he wanted to drop some amateur rider. Now, it must happen to him and all pros all the time. Basically, there are always amateurs out there that want to latch on for a little bit to be able to tell the story and nowadays, show the footage of them riding with a pro.
It happened to you and I a lot, didn't it? Back in our pro days, Si. Unfortunately, we were unable to drop them.
Yeah, good point.
No, I'm joking. But anyway, back on topic. So the online public response to this was, well, it was passionate, I would say. People are quite opinionated on the wheel sucker subject.
Yeah, and we knew there would be, right? 11 years ago, we made a video, didn't we, on how to drop, yeah? Drop wheel suckers, which featured none other than Tiffany Cromwell and Dan here doing some, quite frankly, Oscar-worthy acting.
Oh, thank you very much. It was at least BAFTA-worthy, but I got neither award in the end, did I?
No. I mean, surprising when you think about it. But anyway, the comments under that video were super interesting, right? I shall quote a few.
Okay.
Derl Stenu.
About right.
Yeah. That guy felt lonely, wanted to make new friends, and you are calling him a wheel sucker and dropping him. That is so sad.
I reckon that sympathy in that comment was down to my great acting that you alluded to earlier. I got the public on my side.
Do you know what? I genuinely think you did. Rigor Mortis said, alternatively, you could be a decent human being and possibly make a new friend. Ed C said, ultimately, it's a compliment to you in front, so unless the guy behind you is doing it unsafely, why not let him stay?
Mm-hmm. Whilst Vintage Choco said, why don't you just fart? Which is a decent part, post, isn't it? Part, post, point. It's a decent point, and one that we should probably try to deliver to Jonas Vinegar and other pros. Just fart.
Well, yeah. Anyway, the other side of the coin, I think it's fair to say, is that professional cyclists should be respected, shouldn't they, and allowed their space. A lot of people seem to hold that view, and I have to say, I am one of them.
No.
And actually, controversial opinion alert, not just for pros, but for any cyclist, don't just invade personal space.
Yeah, I told you the opinion was passionate. I was wondering when you were going to get onto this point, actually, because we know from previous GCN shows, and I know from speaking to you personally, off the record, you feel very strongly about this subject as well.
I do. I do feel strongly about this, and for what I think is a good reason. Okay, so if I'm going out for a ride on my own, I might actually want to be alone.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, I love meeting people, right? I will always stop and chat if you come and say hello. The issue, though, is not people coming to say hello. It's when people don't say hello and they don't say anything and then they just silently sit on your wheel. I think it's weird.
Well, yes, but it is. It's on a public road, so.
Well, it might be a public road, but it's also my personal space that they are wordlessly invading.
I mean, it's everyone's space. It's a public road. It's public space.
Okay, all right. Let's say you're out for one of your famous dog walks, okay? How would you feel if someone just walked behind you for 20 minutes and didn't say anything? Literally, just like,
well, when you
know, in your slipstream, two feet behind you.
When you put it like that, Si, that would feel it would feel a bit weird.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So what's the difference on a bike? And imagine that you're not a late 40s male.
Mid-40s.
But imagine instead you're a woman and then some guy just wordlessly walks or runs or cycles behind you. I mean, that's almost... that's really weird to the point of actually being something that you might end up phoning the police about, right?
Yeah.
Now, in cycling circles, it's not something you'd phone the police about because it's considered by some people to be okay. Yeah. But I'm not sure.
That is a fair point. If I'm out for a walk in the forest and end up behind somebody else, I guess, who's walking about the same speed, what I tend to do is deliberately find a different path away from the one I was hoping to take because I don't want to seem like that complete weirdo following somebody for miles.
I just, for some reason, got this mental image of you on this long path with no other turnings off and getting so embarrassed of being close to someone that you just dive off into the bushes.
Which also looks weird.
It does look a bit weird.
Ready to pounce on the next person. No, I'm fortunate where I live that there are a lot of paths in the New Forest where you can... But I'm still disgruntled because normally, you'll know this, in my head, I've already decided exactly what I'm doing, and to have to make a new plan based on somebody else annoys me. But I do it.
This makes my point. You do it because it would be weird for you to be close to someone else that you don't know without a reason to being there. And, you know, it's probably just as well you do this as well because you are quite intimidating these days after all your gym gains.
Oh, yes. I wonder what you're going to say then. Yeah, there is that too, isn't there? Wouldn't want to frighten someone by intimidating them.
No.
My mass. Anyway, back to the question at hand. I guess what I mean is, when is your personal space not your personal space? I mean, going back to you, I presume you don't have a problem if another car driver and car sits behind you, or you sit just behind them in a traffic jam.
Well, no. because they're not in my personal space. If that person got out of their car and into my car, like at some traffic lights, because we happen to be going in the same direction, then that would be a different matter.
Well, yeah, because then they're in your personal property, not just your personal space. What about if you're on a moped or a motorbike?
Well, I mean, again, I wouldn't expect someone on a motorbike to be sitting right on my wheel. But actually, it's got to be said, whether you're on a motorbike or you're in a car, if people drive too closely behind you, then that is a problem, isn't it? Not only is it dangerous, but it's also quite intimidating. And I think at that point, you do feel like they're in your personal space.
Well, I feel like, Si, you are making some quite good points on your side of the argument,
thanks, mate.
I'm failing to prove your argument wrong.
OK. Well, what do you think about amateur riders sitting on professional cyclist wheels?
Well, what I was going to say is I kind of think it is part of the sport. That you just have to accept it, really, because as a pro rider, whether you like it or not, you're doing your job on public roads with other road users, cyclists included, of course. That has always been the case. It's nothing new, and so it shouldn't come as a surprise when it happens.
No. And the point is, I guess, it's not a problem if you say hi and then allow someone to say, do you mind if I do my own thing? But you do see it more and more, don't you, on YouTube and on other social media platforms.
Yeah.
Like, people out with onboard cameras who follow pro cyclists get lots of views, but then also seem surprised when the pro cyclist gets annoyed and tries to drop them.
I think my advice to pro cyclists would be just don't get annoyed. I mean, you've got nothing to prove really at that point because you're being paid to ride a bike for a good reason. That reason being that you are better than 99.9% people in the world at riding a bike. So you don't need to prove anything by dropping them on a climb or on the flat or on a descent. Although, now I've said that, I have been guilty of trying to do exactly that myself in the past.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Mm. I knew you would have done.
Yeah. But then again, I also try to drop people in a group ride who I've actually arranged to ride with, legitimately. So despite what I've just said about pros having nothing to prove, I guess we've got to admit that they're all very competitive in their nature. That's why they do what they do. And so it can be quite sort of instinctual to want to prove yourself at any point, I guess.
Yeah. You are really countering your own argument. You're not on a good day, mate.
I am, aren't I? But to my original argument, if you're annoyed, just drop them on a climb. I mean, taking Vinegar, for example, he can drop everybody in the world except for Tadej Pogacar on a climb. So I'm sure he could have dropped that guy on the climbs if he wanted to.
Yeah, but he was probably having to ride at, like, zone two.
I think you should drop him on zone two.
Well, and he dropped him on a descent, and that was the problem.
He dropped himself on the descent, that was the problem. Or you could just stop at the side of the road, or even just politely tell them that you would like to ride on your own. In fact, wasn't that the final tip that we gave in our 2014 video about how to get rid of wheel suckers?
It was, yes, it was.
Have you tried that in the 11 years since we put that video up, Si? Just being polite to them and asking them?
No, I have not, no.
Why not?
Because I'm British. Well, it means that I'm emotionally constipated and I absolutely can't face confrontation. It's the worst thing in the world.
So you say nothing at the time, you just bitch and whine about it afterwards, publicly.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Brits do, isn't it?
Wasn't there one time when somebody asked you if they could ride with you or behind you or something?
No. They wanted to know if I wanted to ride flat out down the bike path, chopping turns with them.
And what did you say?
I said, no, I'd rather not, thank you very much. But mainly because I think I said, well, yeah, I did. I said, no thanks. I'm just riding steady today. Thank you.
Polite, but to the point.
Well, exactly.
I like it.
Yeah, it was. It took everything I possessed to answer, honestly. Yeah. But yeah. Well, you presumably don't have this problem. Now you don't ride outside very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I guess you're right on that point. I've been doing a lot of Zwift, and it seems okay on the virtual Zwift platform to sort of sit behind somebody else. Although I guess it would be different if someone just brought their Zwift ride into my pain cave and sat it up next to me and Lorraine.
Well, that, yeah, but it's the weird equivalent of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sticking to my guns, to be fair. Give everyone the opportunity to have their own personal space. They might be on a ride because they want to have some time on their own with their own thoughts.
No. If you do want to ride with someone, ask them first, unless they are emotionally constipated because they're British, but they might give you a polite answer either way.
Yeah.
They're like, sorry.
And if you do ask a Brit, then you'll be allowed to ride with them because they'll be too embarrassed to say no, won't they? In all seriousness, though, I genuinely feel I would not want anyone to be watching this to think that you shouldn't ride with other people random people. You shouldn't go and say hi, be friendly, meet new people on bikes, because this is not the case at all. And I think it's really, really important to know. It's simply that not to think that if you ride a bike, you have a right to sit behind whoever you like. You don't. You just got to be friendly and say something first, I think.
I think
we can agree with that, can't we?
I think you and I probably can, yeah. But I don't feel like we can say this is case closed, because I'm sure our viewers are going to have their own opinions and probably experiences on this on both sides of the coin. So let us know in the comments below. Have you ridden on the wheel of someone else and pissed them off? Or maybe you've done that and made a new cycling buddy for the long term.
Yeah. Or have other people done that to you? How did you feel?
how did you feel in yourself?
Yeah, how did you react? Let us know in the comments section down below.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, and we're going to start with some news from Google, because their Gemini AI is now available in Maps for walking and cycling.
The driving version, Google say, is like talking to a friend in the passenger seat.
Not someone who just jumped in at the traffic lights.
Invading your private property and private space. For cycling then, they envisage that you can talk to it hands-free, so you can stay safe and focus on the road. And it says things like, what's my ETA? Or ask things like.
Yeah, I wondered whether at this point that perhaps you can sync it up to a power meter and then it can accurately work out based on your speed, your power, aerodynamic, drag coefficient, what your ETA will be.
Might well be able to, mightn't it? And if you're on a bad day and going slow, you can say something along the lines of, text Sarah, I'm 10 minutes behind, and your message will send while you keep a grip on the handlebars.
Who's Sarah?
I'm just making it up for some member of the public who's married to Sarah.
Okay. Or maybe they're not married to Sarah. Mm. Maybe they're on their way to like some illicit dalliance.
Maybe, yeah.
You definitely don't want to relate to that.
I'm not sure where we're going with this.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, moving on. Last week, we were talking about the New Jersey governor who was looking to class all e-bikes as motor vehicles, with consequences, therefore, for licensing, insurance, and registration.
Yeah, it proved, as we suspected, to be a divisive story in the comments section. But I think there were more people in agreement with me than we suspected, which is to say that perhaps this kind of e-bike regulation through registration is actually not a bad thing.
The crux of it seems to be the disparity between sort of lower power speed restricted e-bike, more powerful throttle e-bikes, and then full-blown electric motorbikes and that legislation that would stop fast, powerful bikes from using bike infrastructure and then also put rules in place for the e-motorbikes.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that would solve it, right? But equally, there's no issue with requiring registration in order to more clearly separate the different types of e-bike.
But then again, there are still many of you who oppose it completely. For example, Ape on a Bike, any barrier to getting people on bikes, e-bike or otherwise, should not be put in place. Barriers are cumulative and everyone's circumstances are slightly different. Registration and licensing can be a major barrier to entry for a lot of people.
Up to a point, yes, but I'm still not sure I completely agree, because it is a barrier, right? But is it a major one? I did some Googling. There are 284 million registered cars in the USA. It doesn't seem to stop people from driving cars. Mm.
But we want as many people riding bikes and e-bikes as possible. So remove barriers, don't put new ones up.
True.
Not a new barrier for car drivers, is it?
No, but equally, I feel like, well, we're leaving like normal bikes out of this for a minute. With e-bikes, genuinely, I think if we don't do something about the brewing shitstorm that's coming,
yeah,
there are going to be real barriers put in place, and I don't think we can keep saying it's not our fault e-bikes are great.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, some of them are ridiculous, aren't they?
Yeah, and all you've got to do is categorise them.
True. Well, we've said it before and we're about to say it again. Lobby your MPs and representatives.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, up in New Hampshire, a bill has been put forward which would require all bicycles to be registered, not for free, si, at a cost of $50.
Yeah, now that is an issue. And that is exactly what we want to avoid, right? The distinction being, in my head at least, that you can buy a bike for literally like a couple of quid, a couple of dollars, as opposed to an e-bike, which does, I mean, it's always going to carry a more premium price tag over a non-e-bike, right? So the two issues there, bikes and e-bikes should not be confused.
Well, fortunately, enough people have registered their opposition to that bill that it is unlikely to move forward, it seems, which, as we said, is another lesson, folks, that you should engage with politics to get your viewpoint heard.
Yes. And as if we've not given e-bikes enough crap today, Strava have also got stuck in. Yeah. So they have deleted 2.3 million e-bike rides from their archive.
This is something we saw on Canadian Cycling Magazine, who said that Strava have taught a machine learning model to detect suspicious activities and delete them, and then has combed through leaderboards and deleted anything that doesn't look right, that looks suspicious.
That's right, yeah. So Strava engineers had been on the Strava Reddit forum, right. That's where they got it from, and they said the outcome is that 293,000 cyclists have been restored to their rightful place inside the top tens of leaderboards.
Nice.
Yeah. We checked, because we made a video to celebrate our 1,000th upload to YouTube, to whether that activity has been removed, and it seems either like they haven't bothered to comb as far back as 2014, or that at that point, Dan cycling up a hill fast was less suspicious because it was still plausible at that point that he was able to do it under his own steam.
Well, here's something I bet Strava is quite confused about, Si, moving on. Eric McKinney has just become the first person to cycle across all five of America's Great Lakes.
Yep, he cycled across the lakes on a vintage mountain bike, no less, a collector's edition Trek 930.
Are you about to say something more about the Trek 930?
Oh, they're like proper. They look really cool as like town bikes.
Are they better than the Marin Bearwoods?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, they weren't at the time, but now they look cool. They've aged very well.
Anyway, back to the case in point, the story we're talking about. We obviously missed a key bit of information from that, and that is that the lakes were frozen.
Yes.
Sort of, obviously. So while he didn't need to ride that far, the first lake he crossed, Michigan, was minus 26 degrees.
Oh. That's quite punchy, isn't it? And then on one lake, his chain snapped. But you'd be pleased to hear it was only minus 18 degrees centigrade that day.
No worries getting your chain tool out to fix that one then. Just find a bit of shelter.
On
the lake.
Yeah, there'll be some, I'm sure.
Anyway, you can find Eric's adventures over on Bucky Mountain Bike on YouTube.
I think that's Buckeye.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I don't know what that is, but anyway, yeah. Now, we got the heads up last week from our mates at Orbea to say that their new team bikes for the Lotto Intermarché World Tour teams are looking mighty fine. So we thought you would like to see a sneak peek as well. Before, I'm assuming you get your hands on one at the UAE Tour.
Yeah, I should do, shouldn't I?
Should do, yeah.
I'll head out there. Yeah, it's quite a stylish return to the World Tour for Orbea, isn't it? Interestingly, if you are a super nerd anyway, while we know that European cyclocross champion Tone Arts has been famously using his Orbea Orca road bike for cyclocross, I noticed that Gilles Lejeune, the third place junior man at the Cross World, was racing an Orbea Terra Race gravel bike. And very good it looked too.
It did, so. Yeah. He looked very good on it as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah, smooth.
God, it was a technical course.
It did, yeah. It felt like something could go wrong at any point.
Yeah.
Hence the safety in which Mathieu van der Poel rode, I think.
Yeah. But it must have been quite soft because there were a few quite heavy crashes, but people still got up.
True. True.
Two medalists were covered in crap, weren't they? Peterson.
Yeah. And the Italian guy in the juniors.
Yeah. I can't remember what his name was now.
No.
Griglione.
Oh, Grigoli. Yeah. I wasn't quite sure the commentators were getting it correct, but I've not done any better.
No, he was looking good.
Grigolini, or something like that.
Something like that. We digress. Elsewhere in the World Tour.
That's how annoyed you and I'd be if we just got a World Champs medal.
I know.
Richardson, something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with people butchering my name, but I suppose it would be dismissing it as if it doesn't matter. That would be slightly frustrating. Yeah. Apologies to that rider. Should we find out what his name was?
We both put our spades down.
Yeah, come on. Digging. What was his name? I've got it up here somewhere. Where is it?
About to be in a sec.
Grigolini. Filippo Grigolini. Filippo Grigolini. I fell for him.
Yeah.
He did an amazing ride. Oh, and then it just all came apart on that last lap.
He did well to push on for silver.
Yeah, he did.
My head would have fallen off completely.
Absolutely, yeah. I hope that this is just a stepping stone for a great career.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
I'm sure it will be too. Right, back on track now. We noticed, well not noticed, it was in the news everywhere. Elsewhere in the World Tour, Team EF have launched a bid to find a new title sponsor in order, they say, to deepen their pockets so that they can win the Women's Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift by 2028, develop talent pathways, then in order to win both men's and women's Tours de France in the Tours de France, someone pulled me up on that in the comment section the other day, within the next decade.
Well, on the Tours de France, I think it would just be Tour de France because the plural in French is not sounded out, is it? Or Tours of France. Anyway,
good point.
Getting into the real...
Great pedantry.
If people haven't switched off by this point, I don't know when they'll switch off. I think we're getting to see how that pans out. I mean, I don't know how they've managed to make this big news because pretty much every team in the world is looking for a new major sponsor, aren't they?
Well, they are, yeah.
In fact, according to Cycling News, 15 teams are currently looking for new sponsors and seven-figure sums to go with it.
Aren't there like 18 World Tour teams?
Yeah.
That's quite a big statistic, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's quite a big percentage.
Yeah.
I'm going like 84. Got no idea if that's right. Anyway, something that is not out of the ordinary, but equally shows how competitive it is finding the mega bucks needed to be competitive in the World Tour these days.
Might need a reset at some point, eh?
Well, I mean...
Budget cap.
Our old colleague, Killian Kelly, is still going along with the fact that if you look at the Tour de France from last year, never has the Tour de France had teams with a longer average history as they do now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And last year, for the first time in history, the exact same teams were invited to the race for 2 years in a row.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Wowzers. Okay. Oh, that is quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, positive. Positive news. Thinking of positive news, we've got some of our own right now. Really exciting news. So eagle-eyed viewers, so not you podcast listeners, might have noticed that we've got a couple of new goodies in the back of the GCN shot. Because, we're delighted to say, we're now partnering up with G-Technic Bike for all of our bike cleaning needs and also ceramic coating.
Very good.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ollie is a massive fan.
Yep.
So they make products for people who really care about their bikes. And it does seem like bloody good stuff.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
To say.
And then similarly, we're also now using CycloWax on our bikes as well. So this is... like the OG of chain waxing, isn't that a thing?
Well, I didn't know that until we had a meeting with them a few weeks ago. And yeah, they were pretty much the first people to make the bath in which you wax your chain, which other people have then gone and copied. What they also said, though, was that actually they got that bath from the cosmetic industry. It wasn't perfect. They were surprised that other manufacturers copied something that was imperfect, but now they've made a much better one that reduces the time to wax your chain down to about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Even I... might do that.
Well, I know. So Ollie and Alex and Connor have been doing this religiously now for a while. Mm-hmm. And I can see all the benefits. But I'm all in now. Mm-hmm. Going to have to do it.
Well, what I did for the World Gravel Champs was get Alex to do mine for me.
Well, I know. This is what Ollie kindly did for my Pinarello. Yeah.
The good news for both Alex and Ollie is that it would take them less time to do it for us from now on, won't it?
Oh, God. Yeah. No, I'm all in, mate.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, let's do it. By the way, are you still in your Zwift rides?
Oh, I haven't set them up yet, but yeah, I will set them up later on today, which for those watching will be the day of the event. But yeah, hopefully you'll see it on the back end of Zwift on the GCN club page there. But yeah, I think we'll carry on. We're in a good habit now. And actually, Lorraine's got a couple more weeks until she does her test.
So she needs
to carry on riding at least that far.
We should say a big apology, actually, on behalf of Connor Dunn, who, as you know, has been training super hard for Atlas Mountain Race. And he's been doing those group rides on Ruvi. And he missed one last week, which we all feel bad about. Connor particularly feels really bad about it. He was out filming. We changed our schedule around and he was out filming and completely forgot. Mm. So massive apologies for that. We will reschedule a group ride for everyone. So watch this space. I'll let you know. I think it's going to be me, actually, who joins you this time. So hopefully that's okay. And, you know.
Yeah, sure, it'll be fine.
Hopefully.
Next up, hack /bodge of the week. Almost all of you will know that this is a part of the show where you can get involved. All you need to do that is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader, where you can obviously upload your photos and or videos of your own hacks or bodges, or those that you see out and about, which is what this first one is from Madonius. Title is Connor's Dream? Saw this bike while being at an open source conference in Brussels. Whether that's a bodge or not, I can't decide. We need the wise judgment of the experts.
Who are they?
Well, I was just about to ask the very same question, Si.
Right, so for podcast listeners, what we're looking at here is it's a Colnago cyclocross bike. If I was to date it, Dan, if I was trying to put a date on this bike, I'd say possibly 2015. Looked like one of the Matthew Vanderpool rode one of those bikes in to win his first world title, didn't he? I think so. I probably need to check my sources. Anyway, we're looking at
Your source, your brain, memory.
Yeah, basically, don't trust it. We're looking at a slightly tired out, but still very nice looking version that's being used as a commuter bike, but with a plastic box, essentially gaffer taped underneath the saddle as like a kind of storage area, I guess.
Aren't the disc brakes also hacked or bodged on, because there's room for cantilever brakes on both the forks and the seat stays?
Oh, yeah. No, they can't be bodged on. They're not bodged on the fork. Maybe there was a year where
they had both.
You could run both, yeah.
Well, that would have been weird, wouldn't it?
Well, either or, rather than both.
What do your sources say about that, Si?
I can't remember.
Anyway,
that,
regardless, the main thing we are looking at is this big sort of plastic container underneath the saddle at the back. I'm going bodge.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive bodge, isn't it?
The title, as I said, was Connor's Dream? No, I don't think even Connor would not go along with that, would he?
I mean, Connor has dubious taste at the best of times, but yeah, no, I'd like to think that he would draw a line under gaffer taping a plastic crate to his bike.
Both bodge, then?
Yeah, he definitely wouldn't have matching bottle cages, though. I think we could say that for certain.
No.
Alex B has sent in a bar bag bracket, perfect for Connor's Gubbins.
Oh, it's all about Connor.
Yeah, for the Atlas Mountain race. He's off at the end of this week, by the way, folks. So, yeah, we'll put a post out so you can dot watch to see how he's getting on. But we're going to be all over it. Anyway, back to Alex B's hack/bodge. I made a bracket for a handlebar bag that allowed space between the bag and the handlebar and the bars for your hands.
Nice.
And it doesn't wobble all over the place. There are a couple of similar items available for purchase, but cost upwards of $200. This is made from two GoPro mounts and a cargo cage for a rock-solid mounting plate to strap a dry bag onto, all for about $30. And it weighs under $10.
That's cool. Not even in, no 3D printing even. When I first looked at it, I thought there must be some 3D printing going on here, but it's just actual products from other items.
I mean, it's cool, like, but is it solid?
Like, claims to be.
Like, because you can get... I worry about the weight on that.
So it doesn't wobble all over the place.
No, I know, but it's the weight. Like, those mounts are not super duper strong, are they?
They are. They're metal.
You reckon?
I reckon so. Yeah, I reckon that is solid. I'm going hack.
Jury's out here.
Your jury's out.
Yeah, my jury.
Mine's reached a conclusion. Not guilty. Hack.
Okay.
Right. Robin Cody put ceiling mounted spring loaded bike storage solution.
Spring loaded?
Yeah, there's a video of this, so you can watch that now. Due to limited indoor storage for our bikes, I wanted to make use of the available space in our utility by somehow using the space in the vaulted roof.
Nice in utility.
Looked into pulley systems, but then came across a gadget called a tool balancer. These are spring loaded balancers which create a weightless effect, reducing operator fatigue in workshop environments when people are using heavy tools. They can be adjusted to match the exact weight of the tool. This got me thinking, so I bought one which could be adjusted between 8 and 12 kilograms, rigged it up on the ceiling, made a rubber attachment for the top tube, attached my bike to the retractable cable, and like magic, it rises to the ceiling and out of the way. Hey presto, no more bike in the way.
That does actually sound pretty amazing, doesn't it?
Not being very professional, Si and I are yet to watch the video for this. We should do that now.
I mean, that is actually...
That looks great!
Good, isn't it?
Oh, it's a hack.
That's a massive hack.
I don't know how you get it down.
Well, no, he's got a little thingy on it. So it's weightless, so you can basically pull it down and it basically takes no effort to get it back down again.
Amazing.
That is super cool.
One of the best hacks ever.
I know. I mean, I want really tall ceilings now just to be able to do that.
I've got a tall ceiling in my entrance.
Oh, why don't you hang some of your bike collection up there?
What if I want to use them?
Like I said, why don't you hang your bike collection up there? Yeah. No, that's very cool. I'm here for that one. Right, Dan G sent this one in. Frozen security.
Oh, wow. This must be Canada.
Oh, my God. On a walk around Esbjerg, well, I went there, in Denmark, saw this very effective winter security to deter bike thieves. I mean, I don't think anyone's cycling in those conditions. Look at that. It's a like an ice sculpture of a rally bike there.
Yeah, for podcast listeners, this is just a fairly basic rally mountain bike covered in ice everywhere. From the bars, dripping down the bars onto the front wheel, all over the saddle.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of rain at some point and then immediately been iced over.
And I'm also fully expecting people to take the comments and say, I live in Esbjerg and I ride my bike all the time, even in conditions like those. It's clearly just unfortunate that this is covered in ice and everyone else is riding. Fair play to all. Right, oh, that's the end of Hacks and Bodges for this week.
Well, we'll save Bodge for that one, shall we? And yeah, look forward to seeing them ready for next week's show.
Yeah, I'm off to Google whatever that person used to haul their bikes to the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, I've already forgotten that as well. Tool balancer.
A tool balancer.
Yep.
Google's tool balancer. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. What we've got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below and we will pick a winner next week. Results first, though.
Last week's photo was this one of a UAE rider inspecting Tim Tom Teutenberg of Lidl Trek's cleat underneath his shoe. Our winner this week is Crazy Rob, who put caption contest, I think I stepped in a Lidl mud. That's not mud.
See what you did there. That's pretty good. I think we can award it, can't we?
We can award a GCN water bottle.
I think we can. Crazy Rob, there you go. Get in touch and we will get your Camelback water bottle out to you. What is this week's photo, Dan?
This week's photo is this one of Tobias Lund Andersen receiving his trophy for winning the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race from Cadel Evans himself. I will get you started. Hey, Cadel, give us a wave. You like that one?
I did, yeah. That's very funny.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. I thought for a minute it was a shark's fin, but no, it's a wave.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
Hopefully, otherwise that joke really doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Hey, get out, give us a shark fin. No, okay. Yeah. Right, yeah, if you can do better than Dan, or even close to as good as Dan this week, then stick your comment, your caption in the comment section down below. Pick a winner next week.
In just a moment, we will let you know what's coming up on GCN this week, but first up, we've plucked some brilliant comments from last week's videos on the channel. As ever, we'll start from underneath last week's show. Shayla Cycling Wahoo put, getting out on a golf course in 1993 mountain bike is, funnily enough, the only bike activity to put me in hospital to date. There were some people not happy with your golf course.
There were a couple of people saying that not only was I a fairly awful human being, it was even worse for talking about it now.
Yeah.
25 years after
I think I'll agree with that.
But I picked out another one that was kindred spirit. Chevy Stuffs 5971 said, I'm 47 and was jumping my mountain bike at the Stone Harbour Golf Club in New Jersey in 1996. I see you, Si. I see you too, Chevy Stuff. Yeah. There's someone from Stone Harbour Golf Club going like, right, we're going to get him. Yeah.
Harper 57 talked about the Rudy Project shades that we were talking about on last week's show. Well, thanks, boys, for letting me know they existed. Bought my pair. And as a thanks, I'll send you some beer.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I look forward to receiving that.
I mean, that is when having lots of money is a good thing, right? Because not only have they just spent on whatever they want, they've also then bought us some beer.
A little thank you.
Yeah, so, you know. Our pleasure. John LF2DJ said, for reference, Moreno Argentin's bike, so we were talking about him as being world road race champion in 1986. So his bike after that race was available for just $1,500. It was called the Bianchi Reparto Corsa. They would build you one in your size, wow. apparently. Bianchi's Reparto Corsa would build you one in your size. I guess that's the custom building okay. bit.
Argentin being the rider who used the Rudy Project glasses that have now been modernised and are selling for quite an astronomical amount of
money. Well, they're selling 40 years on for essentially the yeah. same price that you could have bought his bike for. But
Finally from the show, it's Smith and Short Dogs. But as a Brit who spent a plurality of my life in Texas, and with the utmost respect for Si, that recipe is as much chili as edamame on Weetabix and baked beans on toast.
As it is baked beans on toast. As in, like, they're saying that my veggie chili is not chili.
No, I know. I got that.
That's right.
This is a bit like you, Connor explained to you what the hack
of what the carrot was.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it sounds like Texan chili is basically just beef in a pot. I mean, that's not chili from my book.
Is it not?
That's just, well, it's just beef in a pot, isn't it? You can't call that chili. If it's just beef, it's beef.
Oh, I thought you were very British and polite with emotional, whatever it was.
I know, but it's fine.
Constipation.
Emotionally constipated, no.
It's all right, because they're not actually here in the room. We're just talking
person,
to a lens.
Yeah, Smith and Short Dogs, I'd be like, yeah, it looks really nice.
Yeah. Right. Meanwhile, underneath Si's video about having dressed wrong for all this time, well worth watching that video. I mean, he's genuinely blown away by this new dressing.
What well, good pun, yeah. It's like a gentle breeze. Reverse dressing.
Yeah.
I put more on my arms and my legs than I do on my core.
Yeah. See? It's genuinely like this off camera as well. Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, FPV Cow 6801. And that is a good GCN video. Thanks, guys. That is why we subscribe.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Yeah. Jonathan Ben said, here in Canada's underpants, upstate New York, where riding in temperatures down to minus 12 is not uncommon, we all seem to try and keep our heads warm. Helmet liners with ear flaps are pretty much the norm. I was surprised to see Alex and Si ignoring their noggins. Well, it wasn't cold enough for headwear, I didn't think. But similarly, I mean, admittedly, this isn't down at Canadian temperatures, but I would forsake a full hat these days and just have like an ear warmer so I can lose a bit of heat off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yes, seriously, honestly.
Throck wrote in to basically say that in Brisbane, Australia, it's never really cold enough for all of that.
I saw that one. I'd flip a coin to decide if arm warmers need to be added to my regular kit. Those 15-degree mornings were absolutely freezing.
I was going to skirt quickly on, but you read the whole thing out now.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, underneath, can we keep up with the Jayco Alula Pros? This was Alex Payton riding with Paul Double. Alex Payton himself commented under his video, saying, one important bit of information I forgot to mention, Paul even picked up the cafe stop bill for everybody. What a dude.
Oh, that is cool, that actually, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Nice. Paul looked $1 million, according to 51M. Alex looked like he'd spent $1 million.
Yeah. And then Lomtong said, you know you're balling when a pro calls your bike flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't replace your rear derailleur hanger for nothing, as Alex well knows.
No.
That is flash. Anyway, under how much does weight actually matter on a climb? This was an absolute banger from Sunday. Matt, I can say that because I wasn't in it down in Ollie's video. Yeah,
you can say that because I was.
I mean, I wouldn't normally compliment it, but anyway, it's slipped out now. Matthew James Bristow said, as a 58-year-old amateur rider, that's pretty much your age, isn't it, mate? I've lost around 20 kilos over the past year through changes to my diet. I commute by bike about 60k a day. Wow, on mostly a flat route. Since losing the weight, my average commuting speed has increased by roughly 3 to 6k an hour,
wow.
depending on headwinds or tailwinds. My average heart rate has dropped for the same effort. That's great, incredible, isn't it? Yeah, well done. Fair play, Matthew.
Bruno J, but I wish I could pace a steady 250 watts. I had to put a poker face on and make it look like it wasn't as hard as it actually was. And then Fabio put another parameter to think of is the weight of the Italians. Heavier because we have better food. No offence, GCN friends.
I mean, it's true. It is true. Like, yeah. There's no arguing with that.
Let's get on to what we've got coming up on the channel this week, starting with Thursday, which I think is Connor's love-hate relationship with a power meter.
Why he loves and hates power meters in equal measures. I actually don't know what he's saying about this, so I'm quite intrigued. Mm. And then on Saturday, it's Connor again. So when he made that video about Zone 2 earlier in the year and whether or not, 5 years after the craze started, there is actually still something there. He's basically rediscovered his love of Zone 3. Yeah. And so he's making a video basically all about.
Nice.
Why zone three is the way forward.
And on a Sunday, this is one from Ollie, who tried, along with a couple of other GSIM presenters from different channels around Europe, tried to copy Pogacar's biggest training ride. This is one that he did late last year with his UAE teammates in south of Spain, which was 230 kilometres long. And actually, they found out something quite remarkable about what Pogacar did that day. So make sure you tune in for that on Sunday.
Yeah, I was very... surprised and intrigued to find that
Me
out.
Me too, yeah, it was amazing. Anyway, you'll find out about that on Sunday. Thanks for watching through to the end. I had a few comments about people that get through to the end.
More than two.
I know, at least three or four.
Yeah, so...
That was just those that commented. We might have 10 people watching now.
No. Not at all.
Prove us wrong.